Good morning, everyone. We want to thank you for your interest in Grupo Nutresa and your connection to the conference of results for the fourth quarter 2016. At the table with me, we have Carlos Ignacio Gallegos, CEO of Grupo Nutresa, José Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance, Catherine Chacon, our new Investor Relations Director, and myself, Alejandro Jimenez, who is in the process of handing over to our new director. After the presentations made by the CEO and the Vice President of Corporate Finance for the results of the past quarter, we'll start the Q&A session. Any questions we'll ask through the webcast will be read literally. Those who are connected to the telephone conference in English, we appreciate it if you send your questions using the webcast chat option. Finally, those who want to follow the slides in Spanish in the webcast, which are by default in English, can download them from the same webcast screen. In any event, we want to thank you for giving your name and institution that you represent before you ask your questions. I live with Carlos Ignacio Gallego, CEO of Grupo Nutresa. Good morning. Welcome and thank you for being with us in this conference. To start with, I am pleased to announce the presence of Catherine Chacon as the new Director of Investor Relations to replace Alejandro, who has been appointed as Commercial Director in the Alliance in Malaysia, which is a joint venture with Mitsubishi Corporation. The new director is a business administrator from the Columbus College in New York, and she has an MBA from the business school. Her most recent experience is in Grupo One Colombia, where she worked as her senior manager of the industry and trade directory. She will continue to implement the best practices in terms of transparency, information delivery, and communication with the investors of the Grupo Nutresa. So I invite you, after this presentation, to go to slide number 2 about interesting events. Recently, we received the new yearbook from the Goreco Sam Sustainability Award, where Grupo Nutresa was confirmed as silver class. This is in addition to another piece of news that we shared earlier, for the sixth year in a row, we were part of the Dow Jones Sustainability Indices. We have the highest score worldwide in 10 items, 4 in the economic dimensions, such as business conduct, customer relationship management, health and nutrition, risk and crisis management, 2 in social dimensions, which is social reporting, and labor practice indicators and human rights, and 4 in the environmental dimension, water-related risks, environmental reporting, packaging, and raw material sourcing. We are number 1 in 10 out of 75 aspects, and this is the second largest company in the world in the sector of foods. This is important, and we highlight that because obviously we see in Nutresa corporate sustainability as a capability which is tied to the ability to generate value in the future. After this, we'll go to the slide number 3. I will refer first to the sales for the last quarter of 2016, and then we'll go to see the entire year. So we are now on slide number 3. We had for the last quarter in Colombia sales for 1,439,000,000,000, with a growth of 5.5%. This 5.5% comes from a decrease of 1.9% in volume during the last quarter and an increase in average prices of 7.9%. It's important to remember that 7.9 consists of the innovations launched with a higher added value on the one hand, secondly because of the changes in the sales mix, and thirdly because of increases that occurred during this last quarter. When we look at the business, and you have the percentages here, we have four businesses with significant increases in sales, significant growth, such as biscuits, chocolates, coffee, and pasta. We have two businesses with moderate growth, cold cuts and retail food, and another one decreasing in the quarter, which is the ice cream. Specifically in ice cream, that decrease in volume was due to a higher elasticity in those categories. There are categories that behaved similar. It was a quarter with more rain compared to the previous year, and we had a lower contribution from innovations. This is a business we already have going on several initiatives to revert that trend. One most important one is the complete review of the market to look at the way into which to take back those profitable growth paths, and those measures will be adopted during this first quarter of 2017. When we look at, now, there are two factors in domestic sales that I'd like to explain also. It might be interesting. In biscuits, we have a decreasing volume of 5.3%. I'd like to say that the sub-products and meal decrease in 9.7%. This is about 3%. And in coffee, we see an increase in the coffee of 7.1% in the bottom part of the bar. Usually the prices were stable during the last quarter. This is a quarter with higher sales of soluble coffee. And it's usual to have a price change. But this is the area where we had the least changes in price. Before looking at the figures for this quarter, we must remember that after 1st October 2016, as we reported in the information set to the market, we had the results for Venezuela for the fourth quarter. We do not have the sales of Venezuela during the results. And in the international sales, and the cold cuts are affected by that. We are going to review all the data excluding Venezuela. So we had the quarter, we have sales for $271.2 million, decreasing 7.3%. And in Colombian pesos, 817,000 million with a decrease of 9. Without Venezuela, those figures have a growth of 4.5% in dollars and 2.7% growth in Colombian pesos. In cold cards, we would grow 18.2% in dollars, and in Colombian pesos would be 15.9% growth. I'd like to remind you that the decision of use Venezuela as a financial instrument is totally coherent with the transparency that the president has vis-a-vis the information that we've supplied to the investors and with the risk management policies and the situation in Venezuela. The idea is to manage with the risk criteria, manage that investment, and keep our brands alive to be there when we have opportunities again. The importation that is self-sustaining, we don't have to invest anything, and we have a very important position in a market that has interesting per capita consumption, and obviously we'll have different conditions sometime in the future. I'm looking at international sales. We had a revaluation of the peso, 3.2% vis-a-vis the dollar. That affects the sales in Colombian pesos when you do the conversion. We highlight the growth of the focus without Venezuela, also the growth of Tres Montes Lucchetti in dollars is noteworthy. The biscuits grew well in the States. The dynamics, it's a little less in Central America and Ecuador. Chocolates with a positive behavior in local currencies in the main geographies, Peru and Mexico. The negative that you see there is due totally to the devaluation, cross devaluation, but in local currency, it was okay. Because Montes Riquetti had an excellent quarter in dollars with a good growth in Chilean peso, about 4.6%, and with pretty good operation outside of Chile. In coffee, the growth is increasing the volumes, and in retail food, we have a positive result due to Central America and the Caribbean. When we combine these sales for the quarter, as we can see in slide number four, we have quarter for 2,247,000,000. Without the Venezuela effect, we said the growth would be 4.5% during the same quarter. Cold cuts, the growth would be 6.6%. When we look at the businesses, we have the decrease in cold cuts because of Venezuela. In ice cream, we mentioned the reasons and the actions taken. In general, the Colombian market had a dynamic in 2016 affected by some volatility in rate of exchange, higher inflation, a lower economic growth in the country, revenue expected, and some adverse weather effects. If we consider all the factors, we see that the dynamics of the business in general was pretty positive. We'll see that when we look at the entire year. Let's go to slide number five, where we see the entire year inside and outside of Colombia. In Colombia, we had 2016 sales were 5,362,000,000, with a growth of 9.1%. The organic sales were 5,293,000,000, growth of 7.7%. That growth comes from the combination of moderate growth in volume of 0.2% and a price increase on average of 7.8%, which, as I explained in the previous slide, how far that was due to. Now we'll go into each business in detail. When you look at the entire business map, we see that they all grow. Only ice cream decreased 1.7%. The ice cream had a very good quarter in 2016, in the first quarter, and the second quarter was not so good. In the cold cuts, because of the cost situation, especially in proteins and specifically in beef, led to a price adjustment. The decrease in volume was mainly to the elasticity of the price demand for the product. We have that included in our models. We had in similar situation in cost, but with a diversified portfolio, we're able to have a better impact in volumes. In chocolate, grew significantly in terms of volume and in price. We grew in double digits with a strategy of innovation, added value. Let's see if chocolate ended with a very good result in the year, and we still have not been reflected in profitability. We will have very good results for 2017. For coffee, we had a balanced growth in volume and prices with a strategy for promoting the use of coffee. With an appreciation of the category, we launched the capsules as well in ice cream. It was a challenging year, a very strong price elasticity, and we're going to be working very much during this year. Passat had a great performance in volume with moderate growth in price, a total growth of 11.2%. This Passat products has a broad portfolio for different consumer segments and had a pretty good year. When we see sales outside of Colombia, we had sales for $1.086 million with a decrease of 1%. Those are 3,314,000,000,000 with a growth of 9.4%. In Venezuela, without Venezuela, we'd be growing at 2% in dollars and 13.2% in Colombian pesos. The cold cards, which would be in dollars, would be 21.8 and 33.9 in Colombian pesos. The cold cards, we said, it's doing very well. Colombia and Panama, Venezuela is a decision we made, and that is for the first couple of semesters, but after the third quarter in 2017, we won't have to mention that. Biscuit had an excellent growth in the U.S., moderate growth in Central America, fewer sales in Ecuador and in the Caribbean. Chocolate, the growth in dollars is moderate. Very good behavior in local currency, affected by the devaluation in Mexico when you convert to Colombian pesos. And PM Look, the growth in dollars is totally explained by the foreign rate of exchange in Chilean pesos. There's a slight decrease in PM Look, but it's a very good growth. And tends to improve. The sales had good performance throughout the year. In total sales for 2016, we can see in slide number 6, those total sales were $8,676,000,000, with a growth of 9.2%, one organic growth of 8.3%. Without Venezuela, we have a growth of 10.6, and in cold cuts would be 10.2. In general, the growth in every business except ice cream, considering the complexity of the year, we believe that we had a pretty good, pretty positive sales performance due to the strategy that we have. We have a very, very committed team, very competent, strong brands, pretty good networks to meet the challenges we're facing. We had impressive growth. It's not comparatively, it's 8.8%. And in general, sales were at 5.5%. We had significant innovation. 20% of the group on accessories were innovation sales. And we had good growth. We believe we grew stronger. We have some capabilities we're going to be applying completely in 2017, and we'll make a difference vis-a-vis other competitors. In slide number 7, we can see those sales, the distribution of the sales by region. Colombia was 61.8% of sales, and we had outside of Colombia 38.2%. The second geography after Colombia was Central America, where we had 9.5% of sales. And the third place, at the same level, the U.S. and Chile with 8.2%. You can see that Venezuela, 2.2% contribution. And now we're going to be putting zero there until the things change. If conditions change, we will be able to record these sales in Venezuela in another manner. With respect to market share, in slide number eight, our market share, consolidated share, was 60.5%, with a slight decrease of 0.6%. That decrease is not nothing to worry about. The brand strength allowed us to manage prices, as we've shown, maintaining very significant positions in the market, especially in chocolates, that Gemalook, with increasing significantly our share. In cocoa, there's a decrease of 0.4%. We are at 73.1%. In biscuits, we have 54.8%, with a decrease of 1.1%. In chocolates, in confectionery, table chocolates, and milk modifiers. In coffee, we have decreases in roast and ground and soluble coffees. There's a slight decrease, and we had it 51.8% in pastas. This is a pretty good situation. We were able to improve prices, and we see that at the end of the year, our volumes on average not only did not decrease, but rather increased 0.2%. Now look at the cost in slide number nine. To look at our profitability, we can see the commodities index for Grupo Nutresa. As we've said, this is diversified. You can see it, packing material is the highest percentage input, is at 13.2%. During 2016 in general, we had an increase trend in the price. It is driven by increases in cocoa, sugar, and beef. During the last quarter, we saw a changing trend in changes in the prices of cocoa and stability in beef, with a lower decrease in the index and more stability in the rate of exchange. We have the outlook for 2017 in raw materials is pretty favorable. So to continue sharing information about profitability, I'll give the floor to our CFO, José Domingo Penagos. So thank you, Carlos. Good morning, everyone. So we're going to talk about profitability, and let's go to slide number 10, where I have the EBITDA for the quarter, for the fourth quarter. I'll start by pointing out that the EBITDA margin for the first quarter is 10.1%. That margin reflects the impact of a higher expenditure because of the normal seasonality we've had in the last quarter of the past several years, and the seasonality has been higher than in 2016, because we needed to drive our products in the market. We had a more challenging consumer environment, and we had to maintain our dynamics of our categories, and we invested as a result of that. That's why we use this seasonality. This is more marked in this fourth quarter of 2016. This in general terms, you have the numbers with 228 million pesos in EBITDA, with a decrease of 7.8%, which without Venezuela is 1.4% for the entire group. Let's go by business, starting with the cold cuts. We have a margin of 9.6%, with a decrease of 3.9% if we exclude Venezuela. It's always necessary to compare with Venezuela, not only for the importance of the group, but for the cold cuts specifically. It improved in the margin compared to the previous quarter, and here the effect of the cold cuts is an increase that we've had in the price of protein and the commodities that affect the business, especially proteins. Here we have beef going up. We have been increasing significantly, and pork has also used it locally, and we have an impact on the international prices. But what happened in Colombia specifically is that pork price increases as the consumption increases during the year. In the biscuits, we can see that we had a good performance in terms of value. the margin is higher than the previous year, close to 140 basis points. We have a significant impact because of the crackers in the U.S., and it's 10.99 because 12%, we exclude the effect of the U.S. In chocolate, we have a margin which is affected by the cost of cocoa. The cost of the commodity was high throughout the year, and in the quarter and in 2016 as a whole. We should point out something that Carlos Ignacio was mentioning earlier, that the commodity of cocoa has had a very positive effect on the chocolate business. In 2016, especially during this quarter, the cocoa had very high costs, and that is reflected immediately almost in the EBITDA. For PMI Chile, this is due to the higher cost of raw materials and the low dynamics in the market, especially in Chile, as mentioned in the business part. In coffee, we have a quarter with a pretty lower than the entire year for this quarter. This is the effect of raw materials. We had a dramatic growth during 2016 with some increases at the end of the year. We'll see that 2017 will see some increases as well, but basically, this is what happened. Most affected, it applies to all the businesses, as we said earlier. We'll see that this business has a very good accumulated margin and pretty sound results for the entire year. In retail food, we have an increase of margin of 15.2%, higher than the previous quarter. Here, with the idea that to protect the transactions in the entire year, we have some costs affected by inflation. That was affected also by the price increases during the first half of the year, but it's been improving during this quarter. We had a significant margin of 15.2% at the end of the quarter. In general, it was a quarter with a margin below what we expected for this unit. Let's remember that weather, innovations, what we mentioned earlier, all of that has an effect on the, because of the size of the business, we have a significant decrease vis-à-vis the same period in the previous year. It has a cost structure that needs that sales volume, otherwise we are affecting the results. In pastas, we had a good performance business-wise, but it has a high investment because of the size of business. The margin is at 7.9%. This quarter was marked by the seasonality of expenses, and that was especially hard in this quarter, and it has the same trend as in all businesses. Let's go to slide number 11. We had an EBITDA of 129 billion pesos. This gives us a margin of 11.9%, slightly less than what we had said for the long term. We have those projects in Chile, Mexico, and the U.S. that if we eliminate that effect, we are having 12.2%. In a general comment, this is economic growth situation in Latin America and the region. There's a volatility in the rate of exchange, higher inflations in most countries, if not all countries where we operate, and significant political uncertainty and a significant variation, especially during 2016, in raw material prices, especially in the commodities, in the regional currency, which is mainly dollars, and in the rate of exchange as well. Considering all these effects, we believe that we have an adequate EBITDA for this situation, and it does not compromise our profitability commitment for the medium and long term which was roughly always had between 12 and 14%. I want to talk to you generally in some businesses, and I'll start with the coal cuts. It's in the range, 12.6%, wood growth, 11.6. Well, without 11.6 in Venezuela. And raw materials, this is supplied for the whole year, but we had a very good situation profit-wise by the end of the year. The margin of 2016 is slightly higher than the previous year. We also have the effect of the plants in the U.S. If we exclude that effect, we have a margin of 4.8%. Very good business dynamic. It's a very well-balanced business between total revenue and total revenue from overseas. That's a very good dynamic for the entire year. And you can see the results in vis-a-vis the chocolate. As I already mentioned, the cocoa, I think it's not worth repeating it. It's a very different situation for cocoa in 2017. In TM Look, we have lower margin than what we agreed to for this business. It's more complex market situation in Chile, and especially the rate of exchange is very accelerated devaluation, so lower margins. And for 2017, we're talking about 2016, but it should be noted that we've been working on some efficiency projects in the entire TM Look operations, and we have significant outlook for next year to be able to meet our commitments for this year. But we had a significant investment in Mexico. Mexico has very challenging factors in the entire economic situation. Coffee is the business where we have the highest margin in the group. One of the things at the end of the quarter increased, but in general, we have a very good performance, a good margin. It's even higher than the range for the group, and we've sustained that for the entire year. In retail foods, we have a margin of 14.3. I already mentioned the effects during the quarter and the plans and the increase in or the control of fixed expenses. And then, as we mentioned, we've been working on the other variables to revert that trend that we've had the whole year. Finally, in fast food, we see results that are affected by some effects of raw materials, but a very good outlook for 2017. We should note that the rate of exchange issue will have some significant effects on the margins. We have a realization of 1.7%. The average rate was a devaluation during the year, close to 11%. So this effect of devaluation on the average rate has a significant impact on the cost and therefore on the margin. The details were explained in the operating parts of this PMS. One to slide to number 12. We've spoken in much detail about operations. We explained the situation. Now I'm going to talk about the P&L. Post operating effects, financial expenses increased by 34.8%, and those have a significant weight in the bottom line. This is about increase about 200 basis points. Average payments, retaining rates of interest will increase to 240-250 basis points during the year. This is affecting the P&L, and it's reflected here. The issue of Venezuela that until September, we have been reflecting it in the P&L, and as of October the 1st, it's like financial instrument. This means that we will not have the impact that we'll see in the accumulated because of the loss of monetary position in that country. Here we see this quarter is going to be zero. We're going to be bringing in results from Venezuela as the situation changes. We have an account of 2,800 million pesos. This is specifically two important impacts. First, the inflation of that accounting in Venezuela as a financial instrument. We have to update our real property. We used excess cash that we were generated a few years ago to turn that into fixed cash. That we think it's the best protection to that cash. And that reflected the appreciation close to 17 million pesos. And the changes in recovery because of some taxes that we recovered during the quarter. That's the most important part of the quarter. Finally, we're having a net profit of 81,600 million pesos, 19% compared to the same quarter the previous year. That's for the P&L for the quarter. The statement of results, I'm going to make a general comment. And I would say, in principle, that in general, the results for the entire year have grown 19.2%. This is a trend which is completely aligned with our commitment to our mega goal for 2020. And this is mainly marked, as I said earlier, due to the increases in price. This is the fundamental to balance our profitability equations. In some cases it will be volume, in some cases it will be price, but it is the idea is to get our profitability balanced. We already mentioned the impact of raw materials, and which we had a difference in our gross margin of close to 50 basic points. And remember, the previous quarters was high. The difference we had in the gross margin, we reduced that throughout the year. In administrative expenses are in line with inflation. Sales expenses, I agree with the promotion of the market. And the operating funds are positive, the effect of the revaluation at the end of the year because of the impact that we have with lower costs. We have 4.1, 5.2. Effectively, that's for the operating expenses. And then operational part, I explained in detail. You can see how the financial expenses that grew about 200 basis points over the year have an increase of 38.1%. And we have negative results with a difference in rate of exchange, different from what we had specifically with the rate of exchange. We have other revenues, which is mainly the dividends from our investments, in the AKM in Malaysia, and other revenues, especially during the fourth quarter, which is explained or indicated in the previous slide. Then we have the current income tax, which for debt consolidated profits with a decrease of 7.7%, with total at the same date of the previous year. This is the P&L for the quarter and the year. In slide number 14, we have the net debt. And we'll show you here not only the debt, but the cost, which is mainly CapEx. The net debt over REIT is 2.82. Remember the commitment we have made in the market to bring them in between 2.5 and 2.7. This goal did not include some investments that we made throughout the year. Those are a capitalization of INVO for 56,000 million pesos to leverage that operation in Colombia, we own 40% of Bimbo Colombia. There are some plans to expand. But we capitalized with 56 million pesos that operation. We excluded the effect of that to extraordinary investments which are not our initial projections. The indication is 2.74 times, closer to the to what we agreed on at the beginning of the year. The other one is the cost of the debt. We had 9.5% average cost, 9.5%. We had, 200 base points. This is for about 3 years on average. With respect to CapEx, we had 336,000 million pesos, and we usually show a projection for CapEx what we have intended for 2017. In this case, it's 200,000 million pesos. And that is our budget, 200 million. We cannot commit the indicator of our sales or the same sales because if you evaluate the averages over the last several years, 3 or 4 years or slightly longer, this is the lowest value we've had for CapEx. And this is basically a commitment about the discipline in those investments that we're going to be making and does not affect our plants or maintenance in the state of our assets. But it is a very significant commitment, especially leveraged on our returns. So I think this is the end of this section of the financial statement debt and investments. And I'll give you the floor to Carlos Ignacio so he can tell us what are the outlook, what is the outlook for the next year. In 2017, we're going to be facing, in the country where we focus our activities, less inflationary environments, rate of exchange, which will be volatile, but the total change in absolute values is going to be less significant. We also foresee a basket of commodities, which is more favorable than the previous year. We're going to be continuing to be very active in developing channels, in strengthening our brands, working very hard on productivity and innovation, especially innovation, where this year will give you very important news about new and healthy and efficient products. We're going to do a review of the cluster market to retake our road to profitable growth. In the U.S., we're going to be growing, especially in this is where we're acting as local. You know that we have a production plant, and in coffee and chocolate businesses, where the main input is coffee and cocoa are not produced locally in the country. In Chile, we're going to have a more profitable year. In Mexico, where we are small, we only have 3.4% of our sales are there, and we have 2 plants. The turbulence will give you an opportunity to continue to expand and to be present in other categories. Even retail foods will be very active in opening and also closing and introducing new concepts for the consumers. It's going to be a lower debt year with all the advantages that entails. All of this that I'm mentioning, I want to tell you that we ratify that with a very good January. We had a very good January. I want to, and we had both sales and profits had a very good start. And February is looking like it's going to be a very good business month. Our outlook is a positive growth with profitability within the ranges that Grupo Nutresa has set for itself for 2020. After the CEOs and the corporate finance vice president presentation, we'll start the Q&A session. Remember, those who are asking questions through the webcast, in English, please do that through the chat option. And thank you always for your name and the institution you represent. We'll start the Q&A. We'll start the questions for those who are in English or those who are connected to the webcast. Please send your questions to the platform. Then we will read and answer the questions. For those who are listening in Spanish, if you have a question, please push star 1 in your phone. If you want to withdraw from the waiting list, use the number key. If you have a question, please star 1. We have Federico from Bancolombia with a question. Good morning, Carolina, Jose Domingo. Thank you for your introduction. I have a couple of questions. The first is about sales of Nutresa. Although during the year, the volume growth was significantly stable, until we see it in the first quarter, we see a decrease of in volume because of price increases. And looking at the tax reform with an increase in the sales tax, do you think you can still pass on that in price increases, knowing that you have affected volumes already, or are you going to have to sacrifice some profits? The second one is about profitability, although Mr. Domingo explained very clearly the EBITDA and all that. Let's zoom in on cold cuts and coffee, which had 9.6 and 11.1 EBITDA, so which traditionally have been the lowest margins that we've had in 12.9 and 12.12. The last question, which is in more detail, and then not for the expenses. We have other services, and that other services account in the quarter went from a negative minus 116,000, 131 million to having in the last quarter, 316, 348,000 million. So I'd like to find out, can you give me an explanation of what this change means? Thank you, Federico. I will refer to the first and the questions 2 and 3. I'll give us on to the floor. First of all, about the tax reform, first the reform and then the behavior of sales. Obviously, because of the decrease in revenues of the state in Colombia, specifically because of the low price of oil, the country had to implement a tax reform. We believe that that was necessary for the country. That reform was well received in general by the rating agency, and they said that they would do their next review in 18 months, specifically in what you mentioned about the sales tax that went from 16% to 19%. I would say that in Grupo Nutresa, 58% our references in Colombia had 16% tax. Complex businesses such as pasta and coffee were not affected by that measure. And in the case of retail foods, what happened was going to a consumer tax. What it would aim in the business was not to change the prices as a result of that 3-point increase. Obviously, in the short term, let's say in the first month, every time there is a change in the added value tax, there is a readjustment in the channels and in the markets. But what I can tell you, without giving you any figures, is that, as I said, in the business behavior, there was very good, and volume growth was higher than the accumulated for the year. We did not decrease volumes in January, and in February, as I said earlier, it's well on the way. We'll be closing February tomorrow. But what we believe is that it's going to be a different year. But what I said earlier, there is a trend for the inflation to decrease. But this is going to be a very different year in terms of inflation for this country, and it should end the year with between 4.5 and 5.5 inflation if nothing unusual happens. And this lower inflation should give the consumer more possibilities to go back to consumption. We don't see in our group strategy, I see that the price variable, we're going to be using it less than the previous year, is something that I can say, because we want to protect our volumes and we want to continue being present with products that respond to the consumer's needs, but that they can be affordable. So this is going to be a very good, a stable year in terms of prices. And in terms of volumes, we started with the right foot. What happened here is that a very significant part of retail food in Colombia had taxes of 16%, and they went to 8% consumer tax. What that produces is a combination. You have high revenue because before you had 16%, and now it's 8%, but you have some sales taxes that you can't discount. The effect for a group of fish is minus 200 million for investment because the fish is not a significant factor. It's not going to change how good the business is. We have a challenge there of providing good response to the consumer and always being affordable. About profitability, I'll give the floor to José Domingo. About the second topic, it's very detailed. Let's do that through the investor relations office, and we'll publish that with the statements. So we'll publish it for everybody on the page. But I'm going to refer to the point that you mentioned, the profits for cold cuts and coffee. During the last quarter, it has higher expenses in marketing and sales that happen, especially in the coffee business, but also, plus raw materials. Coffee has a margin of 11% during the last quarter, and the entire year is 16%, and it doesn't compromise the good margins that we had in the business throughout the year. We have, until 2017, a bit more than pressure because of raw materials, but for coffee, it's very sound profit-wise, and we believe it's going to have a very good performance. With respect to cold cuts, the cold cuts is taking very heavy pressure in terms of raw materials. That pressure is the main, which is beef and pork, and during the year the devaluation on average was also a factor. We have a decrease, a significant decrease in the quarter, 34%, but we have a factor of Venezuela. The cold cut margin is not 9.16%, but the growth of that 24 becomes only 3.9 when we exclude Venezuela. So it has a lot of factors involved in this margin, but this is a business unit that throughout its price management and the dynamic management of categories has been able to face that, those pressures from raw materials during the year. Definitely we have some specific situations, more of the specific situations than of the structure. Thank you for your answers. I want to ask again about the first one, about the retail foods and the change of tax with the, what you retained, you crossed it out with the, what you paid out. With this change in taxes, you won't be able to cross those figures. It's going to have a significant impact, for example, in working capital. Those added value tax, it becomes a higher cost. It becomes a higher cost, as I said, you have a positive effect on the first line, but you have a an impact on growth. And the $300 million that I mentioned is actually trying to simulate an entire year of all restaurants in Nutresa. So it is not significant, and we believe that in it's something stable, and we understand that by the government, the reasons that the government gives is a greater ease for collection and to avoid using the collection of royalties to decrease the tax revenue for the country. So it's not material, it's not significant, the effect. Thank you. Thank you, Federico, for your questions. And I'll read a question received through the webcast from Porvenir. And I will read this. Thank you, Alejandro. I think that the question from Federico includes this question. I'd like to repeat, only 58% of our references of what we sell in Grupo Nutrición Colombia were covered by the 16%, and now we're up to 19. There are four businesses where the impact is minimal. So, Pasta, in Montezuquiti, and Retail Food, where the issue is consumption tax, and we did not increase prices in 2019. There is some impact in the short term, but we believe that there will be some recovery. In the first month that we closed completely, and this one that is doing pretty well, there will be an impact, but we have expectations to increase consumption in the future. So we have not managed to move a lot the price in Colombia, try to protect our volumes, and to have the possibility of the consumers having access to our products, not only because of they like them, but because they can afford them. We have understood from Santander with a question. Thank you for the presentation. My question is about brownfields. You said that one-third of the EBITDA margin, no, one-third of the, one-third of the point for 2016 was due to those brownfields. Could we expect an improvement in this respect for the margins during 2017? And that, yes, what you say is true, that becomes 12.2% of the EBITDA margin. We have different biofuels. We have in the U.S., the crackers company in Chile. We have a business max, and in Mexico, a pasta plant. They are different times in the U.S. plant and begins the reverse the trend. Is not going to be part of the difference in some cases for the biscuits. By the plants in Chile and Mexico, we will not be seeing any effect during 2017. These are plants that are more longer term plants, and the markets are slower in that, those geographies. So yes, for the biscuits in the U.S., but not yet in Timbuktu and in Chile and in Mexico. Thank you, that's very clear. And more strategic question. There are two segments that historically have had attractive margins, which is ice cream and cold cuts. And those were the ones that had capex figures higher than those categories. So now that these segments are becoming, you know, are going down to in the lower profitability range, so are these businesses still attractive? What is your long-term vision? And are you still betting on those businesses? What could be
how could you take that, the results? Is it possible to increase the margins back to historic levels? It's a very good question. I'm going to refer to what you said. The cold cut is still an extremely important business. It has good size. The cumulative margin for 2016 was pretty good. What we have is the specific situation of the price of one of the raw materials. We can say that this is a business that we have as an example of returns on capital. However, when it's got one of the best in the company by the end of the year to make sure that we had an adequate supply of raw materials, we purchased a Fogata. So we wouldn't have any problems with supply. So it's a very important business for the group. It's current, and what we're dealing with is situation in raw materials. We're going to be continuing to be very active. We're going to have a partial integration with cattle raising. We are beginning to export also some fine meat, but we have very good ROIs, and we have a good EBITDA. It has some term short challenges, such as we haven't in the previous years in chocolate or coffee. It's an excellent business in which we're very firm, and we have 72% of the Colombian market, which is enviable participation. Anyone who would like to have that share. As in ice cream had a very good first semester, and the second one is not what we expected. Margins, EBITDA margins, although in part of the volumes, are going to be for the year going to be within the range. It's very high in the range, but it's a business that we have, as I said earlier, we have to take very good care of the customer market and have a very good network of freezers, 100,000 in Colombia. And we believe that the category in general was affected, but it's an interesting category. It's a category that people like. It's an indulgence. It's affected by weather changes, but we're not getting out. We're thinking of improving it and reinforcing it and allowing it not only to have an EBITDA, but also better returns on capital than we've had. We believe they're going to be in the future of Grupo Nutresa. Thank you for your question on this. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Felipe from Scotiabank. Good morning. Thank you for the question. One of them is the seasonality of the business. The fourth quarter, we've seen a little more seasonality with respect to expenses. How recurrent is this? Because obviously there was marketing expenses, and part of that is not recurrent. So what sort of seasonality are we to expect in the fourth quarter? Could that be a result of some of the acquisitions we've done the last couple of years? Well, why is that difference in expenses vis-a-vis the historic expenses? The other one is operating expenses. Administrative expenses, for example, went up 15% year to year. We didn't expect those so high. We were expecting more in the first semester where we had to adjust the salaries, but apparently went up in the fourth quarter. Are you expecting more of this type of increase during the first quarter? Thank you for the question. Indeed, the seasonality of the last quarter has been noticed since we changed the new standards. And because of the way we cause and reflect in the financial statements or what you used to have in marketing expenses, we linearize that expense as we, because now with the new financial information reporting standards, it's showing more in the last quarter. It's significant. We decided to invest more in the market to maintain our categories and the health condition. But in general, that is the linearity or the general trend we're going to be seeing in the expenses in the fourth quarter for the next several years in that item for Grupo Nutresa. And with respect to the administrative expenses that you mentioned, this is when we do our main salaries in the group. During the last quarter, we had significant increase, but as you can see, in the year, expenses are 7.9%, which is a percentage of the sales, and in general, administrative expenses are more due to inflation. It doesn't really represent the trend. Thank you very much. Carlos Rodriguez from Credit Corp. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. Several questions. One is about the brownfields of Chile, Mexico, and the U.S. and the caps of the 200,000 million. Is there investment in plants, or is that simply improving the usage? And the other one is about that, can you give us a guideline or a goal or an idea? And can we expect future acquisitions and future activities in the future, or are you going to be using your local or your own funds? With respect to the farm fields, the investments are already made. There's 200,000 million pesos that I mentioned earlier for CapEx 2017. There's nothing considered for those farm fields. It's practically mainly for maintenance of the operations that we already have. Second, with respect to the indicator, as I said earlier, after those two investments, we ended up in 2.74. Our goal is still to be 2.5 to 2.7 during by the end of the year. Obviously, these goals do not include the inorganic issue, which we will not give up on. Although we don't have specific expectations in acquisitions, but that is part of our growth strategy. And when we have some acquisition to disclose, we will do exactly that. Thank you very much. Jennifer Somitau with a question. My question is about market shares and evolution for 2017, specifically in Colombia and in biscuits. We're talking about the dynamic of focus in biscuits. You can compare with the last 9 months, the dynamics are more difficult. Could you give us an idea of how you see the competitive environment for when we're having private brands in supermarkets, in discount stores? Although they are not as important for you, for growth could make a difference. Thank you, Joanna. Thank you for your question. Actually, give you guidelines about market share, give you a number, is very difficult. I like to tell you that the market share is the consequence of everything that you do in the market. But I was saying earlier that 2017 is going to be a highly innovative year. And what I can anticipate is that biscuits is one of the businesses where we're going to have most innovations for the market. Although there are areas which are present and have growth, we have a possibility of acting in many of those actors, and we don't see them as competitors because our challenge is to be the best suppliers through all channels. So it is possible. It is possible that in the midst of that struggle to join the market, which is an open, free market as it should be, it's possible that the shares will be maintained because, you know, having already 54, it's more difficult to grow. What I can anticipate is that we're going to move all that, which has to do with distribution. We're going to present innovation. We're working very hard on products that are favorable to well-being and health. We're going to be promoting healthy habits. And we have very powerful brands. Bosch is the leading brand in Colombia. And the herbicide is very strong. And it's earning its preference every day. So it's possible that we maintain our market share. Or if there's a decrease, it's going to be very small. It's very difficult to give you a number. The struggle in this market is taking place every day. And this is one of the companies that competes with the more global companies in its category. Actually, the biscuit company is totally open, and you can find the biggest players in the world whom we are facing, not only here, but also in Central America and in other countries around the region. So it's going to be a hard fight, but we're going to have very good projects in this category. Thank you very much. If you have questions, please push star 1, or you can send your questions to the platform. We have a question from Daniel Guardiola from the BTG. I have a couple of questions. One is about the margin for 2017. What are the leverages that you're intending to use to maintain those margins in this range of 12 to 14%? Bear in mind that prices are going down. The impact of the field sales tax and the switch to protecting volumes, which basically should have higher expenses, sales expense. And the second is about CapEx, which said that you're going to be 200,000 million pesos. That's about 2.3% of the sales for 2016. And if you look at the historic CapEx, it's close to 5%. So how sustainable is this in the future? Or is this simply we're going to be looking at this as a one-off thing for 2017? Thank you, Daniel. About the leveraging, the first of all is that I give you a general question because leverages are not necessarily the same in each category. But in general, we're going to be using those leverages in three areas. One has to do with sustained growth, with effective innovation, cross-fertilization of categories, because not all categories are displayed all over, are deployed in all categories, in all the geographies. Channel development as well, and implementing specific plans, which are business specific, in areas where we still have a possibility to improve. Higher margins is the second leverage. We have decided to work on productivity and effort to improve return on investment in marketing, looking for distribution efficiencies, and we're working several years ago going globally and also in treasury. And the last chapter has to do with your question, which is a CapEx, is called investment discipline. Better use of our installed capacity, efficient allotment of resources to budget, and CapEx. All of that is part of a constant, ongoing work of improving our working capital and making the best use of favorable conditions that the tax reform will bring in Colombia. That is the summary of our leverages. About CapEx for Domingo Jetty. If we go back and review the explanations of the CapEx of the previous years, you'll see that we always spoke about on distribution centers. We have significant investments in over the past couple of years in distribution centers to leverage our growth in volume. I wouldn't say that all of that investment is done, but most of it is. And it's an investment that we will continue as we need it because of the volume. But most of the capex for the previous years, for those facilities you mentioned earlier, were based on the investments that we had in those distribution centers that we don't have those facilities this year. And in the future, we're going to activate if we require by the volumes. About margins, now that the prices are going down and the impact of the year, how much you have to increase your sales to increase your margin, all that type of margins, we don't give that out because when we speak about that prices are going down, we're talking about inflation in general, and it's much more detailed that we can't answer here. But can you give us peace of mind that what we have, as I said earlier, in the outlooks, we do have numbers that allows us to state without any doubt that we are maintaining our profit levels for the period. And our leverages, we have identified them, the areas that are associated with the capability to develop in very specific projects in our companies and that enable us to sustain results like the ones that we've been showing. We have no further questions right now. I'll give the floor to Alejandro Jimenez. Thank you. I want to thank you all for connecting to this conference of results for the quarter, for the fourth quarter. All your attendees, your questions, your interest for Grupo Nutresa. Anyway, the channel is still enabled for further questions. If you want to ask them to Catherine Chacon, we will focus and answer those questions. I will be supporting Catherine until next March 29th when we have our shareholders assembly. So thank you all very much for connecting and happy rest of the day.